planet synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Robert Murray. Listen in to The Peaceful Planet every Saturday at 12 noon Central to music from the angelic realms, including inspired songs from John Lennon, George Harrison, and Michael and the Band. This is show host Marcia McMahon inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and the Archangels as we bring you into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Hear my weekly interviews with cutting-edge world teachers and musical talent.
Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? We are one on the Peaceful Planet Show at www.bbsradio.com every Saturday at 12 noon Central Time.
Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet Show. This is your host, Marcia McMahon, and we have a wonderful guest, Carla Rueckert, who's going to be bringing in some amazing information. And our show is going to revolve around her work with the Ra material and A Wanderer's Handbook. And this is going to be ascension information that you do not want to miss. And I know that there are many of you all over in the listening audience tuned into this special light worker, Carla Rueckert. Before we actually get to Carla, I always do my announcements, and I want to mention that something very extraordinary is coming up this summer with an opportunity to visit France and see the Mary Magdalene and Black Madonna sites in Europe with a focus on Mary Magdalene, her relics, and the secret holy bloodline. I am also a channel for spirit and have messages from Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene and Princess Diana, and we'll be landing in Paris to commemorate the transition of Princess Diana, whom I work with and channel. So there'll be messages from all three great ladies, and this is going to be as a special focus on the divine feminine with a lot of viewing of wonderful artwork from over all the centuries. And as well as we visit these historic sites, I will be bringing through messages. Now, to find out more about this, you can go to the homepage of The Peaceful Planet right here on BBS where it says click to find information about this program. Or you can also go to www.bodymindspiritjourneys.com where you can see more information and a total itinerary for the pilgrimage. So I will be one of the featured speakers. The other featured speaker is going to be Andrea Pinkham. And there's just going to be so much, you know, good stuff to see over there in France. And I want to invite everyone listening. If you didn't catch the website or you're just tuning in, you can also send me an email at dianaspeaks@hotmail.com for further information about the up-and-coming tour. So, Carla, are you with us there?
I am indeed. Hi, Marcia.
Hi. It's nice to hear your voice again and to speak with you. It's a great honor and pleasure to have you in our company.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'd like to read your bio for those people that may be tuning into your work for the first time. I think that'll, you know, it's an impressive bio, and we'll go ahead with that, and then we'll just kind of meander wherever Spirit wants us to go.
Sounds good to me.
All right, dear. Carla Rueckert McCarty was born in 1943 in Lake Forest, Illinois. She completed undergraduate studies in English literature at the University of Louisville in 1966 and a master's degree in studies in library service in 1971. She served as librarian and bibliographer to college and school libraries for 6 years. She was a mediator with the group Don started early in 62 and became partners with Don in LL Research in 68. In 1970, she turned full-time to assisting Don with his research. She read and abstracted books and periodicals and did correspondence and writing for Don. In 1974, she began channeling and continues these activities today. In 1987, she married Jim McCarty. She enjoyed corresponding with a wide variety of wanderers, readers, and spiritual seekers of all kinds, as well as reading romances, fantasies, sci-fi, and mysteries, gardening, cooking, and writing. She continues her channeling efforts with non-trance Sunday meditation meetings. So, for more information about Carla and her books, you can visit www.llresearch.org. And the LL is short for Love and Light.
That's right.
And many light workers the world over sign their emails Love and Light. And you want to know why this is happening right now and what the Love and Light vibration is all about, you probably would want to start with The Raw Material, which was an extraordinary book that Carla channeled, I guess that was back in the early 80s, Carla?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've talked about your channeling and your spiritual background before on The Peaceful Planet, but I wonder, you know, for those just tuning in, there is a huge influx of love and light coming into the planet at this time as we are stepping up our vibrations into the planetary ascension and the energies. And I wonder if you could just kind of give us an idea of a little bit of definition on what is the love and what is the light vibration and how the two go hand in hand.
All right. In the channeling that the sources that I channel, which call themselves the Confederation of Planets in the Service of the Infinite Creator, I always receive a greeting and a farewell in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. And occasionally they'll enlarge upon this a little bit and they'll explain that they're leaving us in all that there is, that it is all sacred, and that the way creatorship works is that the creator is out-pictured into our ability to grasp the concept of creatorship as a thought. Even in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word. The utterance of that Word was love, unconditional love. It's very difficult in English to find a decent word for unconditional love that really packs a punch, but basically, this logos or word of love is the thought that working with free will, which is very, very central to the Confederation's scheme of things, the Creator chose to know itself and therefore used light to build the creation. And, of course, if you start going into what the scientists say about the actual nature of creation, it's all light vibrations of one kind or another.
The speed of light.
Different orders of magnitude and different kinds of vibration, but everything's in motion. Everything is love manifesting through light. So you and I are love with light organizing our bodies and our minds, and everybody else is too, and everything we see in nature is basically part of that unified and interactive creation that is all made of love by using the manifesting abilities of light. So love and light is all that there is. Love and light is the house of the Creator and everybody in that house. That's the way they express their cosmology or the philosophy of how things began. It's really kind of fun to think of things the way the Confederation does, because nothing ends, ever.
If everything is an intelligent infinity, you know.
Right, intelligent infinity, not an infinite intelligence, but intelligent infinity. So it's something that we can't grasp, that concept. We can't grasp infinity. We can't grasp eternity. Our minds work in a linear fashion. We work in space and time. So when anybody starts trying to seek spiritually, he's going up against the prejudices of a culture that is geared towards quantities and things that we can see and measure and know are there. The metaphysical world works on the other side of the door that, say, splits the conscious mind and the unconscious mind, whereas in the conscious everyday reality that we have, we're sitting on solid chairs or sofas or desk chairs or wherever we're sitting to listen to the show. Everything has form and color and characteristics we can talk about, But in the metaphysical realm, thoughts are the furniture that we sit on. We stand our ground thought by thought by thought, and our reality is not our physical body at all. Our reality is all of the vibrations in our thoughts that create the picture of who we are in terms of our metaphysical identity. So qualities like unconditional love, truth, beauty, all of those things that are very intangible in the everyday physical world are real and sturdy, and those things which have reality in the metaphysical world. But we, as people going through this creation, they call it the creation of the Father, we're in like third grade. They call it third density, but they're just basically saying that we're in a school for souls, and we're in third grade, and we have seven grades before we return to the Creator. And in this grade, it's called the density of choice. We're simply trying to choose whether to express our love by being of service to ourselves or by being of service to others. Now, of course, when you're of service to others, you always end up being of service to yourself as well. But the basic difference is doing things in a radiant, generous, open manner, or doing things behind closed doors, manipulating people for their own good and that sort of thing.
Right, and there's a lot that Ra goes into in the original Ra material, which I had a lot of problems with my printer, but I do have a copy of aspects of it, which I wanted to quote and then have you expand on.
Mm-hmm.
Since there's so much coming in right now as far as ascension information, and I think you have some of the clearest information on ascension that exists on the planet, besides a few other sources. It's really accurate, and for me it's easy to follow, you know, because I resonate with the idea of light and love. That just comes naturally for me. And a lot of people resonate with light and love and sign their emails that way and think of it that
yes,
way.
And I think also there's a very limited marshmallow fluff factor in the channeling from the Confederation, especially the Ra channelings that you're speaking of, the Law of One channelings, because of the fact that it was a very narrow band channel which was capable of giving very precise information, and because of the fact that the questioner was a scientist, a physicist, and a mechanical engineer. So his approach to metaphysics was a hands-on, practical approach that I think really appeals to people, especially in the technical and scientific areas of study, where most channeling is dismissed because of said marshmallow fluff factor. But in Elkin's questions and the Ra's answers, there is no marshmallow. There is no fluff.
It's
very dense philosophical material. But as you said, I think it is easy to get, easy to follow, because of the fact that they're very specific in their language. They even make up words that let you know about yourself. For instance, they don't call people people. They call them mind-body-spirit complexes, which immediately tells you what they think a person actually is. There's
and
the body aspect.
There's, no better
there's the mind aspect. And there's the spirit aspect, all of that together. So I think it is pretty easy to follow.
I think it's amazingly scientifically correct. And, you know, not being a science person, but I also work with other higher dimensional beings and have had the honor on rare occasions of actually receiving some messages from Ra when I connected to some others that you know very well, Win Free. And then on very rare occasions, whenever I'm in some kind of crisis, I can feel the Ra energy come in, and I've channeled a few things, but I don't deliberately go into channeling with Ra because of what you told me and how you don't do trance, and I don't really feel that comfortable with trance myself. I'm a conscious channel like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the information is always exactly right on. It's amazing how accurate this still is. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Earth moving into the fourth density planet by approximately 2011, And I'm going to quote it a little bit, and then, you know, if you could just give me some of your thoughts. Earth will have become a fourth density planet by approximately 2011. Ra, this sphere, has not made an easy transition to the vibrations which beckon. Therefore, it will be fetched with some inconvenience. The inconvenience or disharmony vibratory complex, i.e. the disharmony of the peoples creating Earth changes, has begun several of your years in the past. It shall continue unabated for a period of approximately 30 of your years. And then the questioner goes on to say, in 30 years, this will be a fourth density planet. Is that correct? Ra, this is so. And then he talks about these various planetary cycles and that we're ending a certain planetary cycle. And there's an awful lot of science out there that confirms that we've come into a higher energy band aspect of the galaxy, which is affecting all the planets and giving us solar flares and doing all this other stuff that's helping us to come into the fourth density. Have you received further clarity on what the fourth density means? I interpret that to mean the love vibration.
We've gotten a lot of information lately because of the questions people ask. Of course, they're always involved with spiritual principles, but they'll say, well, talk to us about spiritual principles that we might need as we face the shifts in consciousness, these great changes and so forth. So we've gotten a lot of information tucked into the spiritual principle discussion. And it's a time of tremendous shift.
Yeah.
They say that we are being just bombarded now by wave after wave after wave of truth and light and the various qualities of fourth density light as opposed to third density light. So people are having tremendous difficulty one way or another with this light. People that are positively oriented and realize that this light is a transformative and changing light where Earth has become a hotbed for new life, new thought, new love, new awareness. They will empty themselves and say, okay, I'm ready to change. I want to live according to fourth density values. Lay it on. Let's try. You know, let's do it. And as people really engage with these incredible crashing waves of fourth density light, they are actually changing their DNA. They are actually becoming able to live in fourth density. That's why there really isn't any need for a planetary shift at this time as far as the shifting of the poles, because of the fact that at the grassroots level all over the world, people are waking up and saying, I realize that what looks like our society is a little on the surface to self side with big corporations and politicians and so forth really taking a good deal of money for their own use and the poor people in the world really not having their needs addressed. But we as human beings are not really political animals. We're not really the ones running the country. We're the ones that wake up in the morning and live our life. And as we live our lives, more and more people are waking up and saying, I want to live differently. I want to live in love. I want to radiate love. I want to be a channel for the infinite creator. I want my life to be so full of love that I will be able to act as a light worker or a lighthouse, if you will. You know, in the Bible it said, don't put your light under a bushel, put it up on the hill. Well, that's really what we need to do now is step up to the plate and start living according to these fourth density values. And that doesn't mean that it's not going to be a difficult time. It's always difficult to change, especially when the change is so profound. But it does mean that every day we get lighter. Every day we get lifted up a little bit more and a little bit more. And as we cooperate with these energies, we will find it easier and easier to deal with these things as our bodies change in order to be able to tolerate fourth density. Now, the people that are resisting these crashing waves are having a slightly different experience. what these waves of light are doing is bringing up into everyone's conscious, everyday thinking all of the little places that we haven't developed our own light yet. We have a dark side to our natures. And for most people, we haven't integrated every single part of that shadow side. We can do that, but we have to do it on purpose. It doesn't just happen. We have to look at road rage and go, okay, that's undeveloped light. It looks like it's happening to me, but actually that's me in the car cutting me off. That's another part of me. So I'm going to take that as mine, and I'm going to ask myself to see my own dark side. I'm going to ask myself to find my impatience and my anger and my greed and my hurry and those dark things that happen in road rage. And I'm going to bring them up. I'm going to ask them to be my knights in shining armor so that I will use that anger and that impatience and all of those edgy energies to make myself more determined, to make myself have more stamina and more spiritual steadiness, because that's what you can develop those dark energies into instead of simply acting out and expressing anger. You can ask these parts of yourself to heal and to be redeemed by your unconditional love for yourself as part of the Godhead principle. And once you've done this, the compassion that you feel for everybody else's dark side is just miraculous. You know, it's there. You don't have to look for it or seek for it. If you've done the work on yourself, then you have compassion on everybody. But if the person...
You can see from the lens of oneness.
Yes.
Which so many of us do. We see others as ourselves, and we want to unite with others. And I think sometimes as light workers, we find surprises with people who don't think like we do, and we get, you know, the uncomfortable situations coming up, I think, even a little bit more often now, because there seems to be sort of a polarity forming among those of like mind that want the unity consciousness, that want peace for the planet, that want, you know, all the good things, shall we say, that are working on themselves. And then there's others who seem to want to persist in their patterns and do not want to see the amazing amount of awakening that is going on a spiritual, intellectual level for humankind. So,
that's right.
It can be difficult dealing with people who are difficult.
Well, you know, but that's okay, because we're not here to convince people or persuade them. We're here to make material available, and if that material speaks to the seeker, then they can use it. If it doesn't speak to that seeker, then they just simply move on. There's a tremendous array of various sources out there, all of which are good to think about, you know. And I think that to finish up my thought about what happens to people who are service to self-oriented, as you say, don't want to change, don't want to learn fourth density values, don't want to live the golden rule to the extent that is needed to live in fourth density, they're going to find themselves getting sick. They probably already have found themselves getting ill with various things because of the fact that their energy body is trying to run this new energy that's interpenetrating third density, and it is not able to do so. And so they're not getting energy through to the heart. So it's like if you already have some energy going through to the heart so that you can open your heart and start living in a new way, then more and more comes to you. And if you aren't able to get up into your heart, if you aren't able to open your heart at this time, then less and less will happen because you're not able to develop. So a lot of people, we see a lot of people leaving the planet earlier in life, you know, having heart attacks and cancers earlier in life than you'd expect. And I think it's an attrition because of the fact that this is an increasingly challenging vibration to live in, because I believe that fourth density is here, virtually here now, and that we are experiencing fourth density energy right along with the third density energy.
You don't see this as a cataclysmic earth change with the earth suddenly. I had someone on my show last week, a very fine light worker who had information that Earth would totally disappear into the sun and would raise to another vibration, you know, entirely.
Well, I've heard a lot of things like that. I've heard a wide variety of things, and the Ra wouldn't speculate as to whether we needed a planetary shift or what.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing to remember here is, in terms of the information with which I'm familiar and which I really think is useful, this shift is not a shift that affects the physical part of our planet. This shift affects the metaphysical part of our planet. The shadows, or the, I guess shadows is the best word, the shadows of these very real metaphysical events may outpicture themselves in terms of an increasing amount of natural disasters, all of which are small, not so small that nobody gets hurt, but small enough not to rock the planet. So that we had to make a shift of about 20 degrees in order to organize the planet for fourth density light. And we only have just a tiny bit to go. And I think it's that these disasters have shifted slowly enough so that the planet hasn't had to come apart. And it's been aided by the fact that so many people are waking up and kind of leaning into praying for the planet, loving the planet, seeking peace. Your work, of course, is all about peace on Earth. And something that you channeled a while back, I wanted to read here because I thought this was really good.
Thank you, Carla.
It explains what we're doing here right now. And I'm quoting here from Marcia, and she's channeled, "Much work awaits. Therefore, you must stay on Earth to create the changes you wish to see materialize." And I think that's what we really need to think about at this time of shift. We have power. We have tremendous power. We are magical beings. The rubber hits the road metaphysically through each of our consciousnesses. And what we choose to create in our little creation sticks. If we forgive people in our creation, they are forgiven. If we don't forgive people in our creation, they remain unforgiven. So we need to decide what changes we want to see materialize. And then we need to get up in the morning and say, "Spirit, help me out here because I want to create some changes today." And once you ask for that kind of help, it's amazing what will happen to your day. It might not be the day you'd planned, actually. But
you know, that's a wonderful reminder because I've been struggling with some of these Earth change prophecy things lately, and some of it is just so totally cataclysmic, I can't get my mind around it, you know?
Yeah.
And I in the past, I always dismissed things like that, but I've had more recent information that seems to indicate that these cataclysms will be continuous and keep on coming. And so for that reason, of course, you know, I look at other people's sources, too, to cross-reference and compare, but it can put you in a state of fear. And
it is a state of fear, and I think a lot of that channeling comes from a place of fear, where fear-based questions are being asked of channels, and the question itself detunes the channel to the point where they're not channeling the source they think they're channeling. They're channeling a service to self. Entity who is happy to take on that name, you know, and say, "I am so-and-so." And, you know, as a friend of mine described mixed polarity channeling, it's, "I love you, I love you, I love you." You know, and that is the nice going
in. Well, this person I don't think was expressing distortion, and I don't think what I'm getting is distortion, but I have to say that I've gotten some more information about Earth changes, but, you know.
I really don't know, Marcia. It could happen that way. It could happen. It might all be gone in a moment. It says that in the New Testament as well as in more recent channelings.
Yeah.
But my sense of it is that that's not going to happen that way physically. It is going to, you know, planet Earth is going to continue paddling along, And for about 100 to 300 years or so, it will be winding out its third density life by, for instance, all these indigo kids that are here now. We got information from the Quo group that these are the first wave of people that have graduated from third density Earth into the density of love and understanding, which is fourth density. And they got to choose what they wanted to do. And what do you think that they chose to do in positive fourth polarity? They chose to return to Earth and help. So here are all these kids that have their fourth density DNA all completely together and are much more able to see through the illusions of third density, whereas for us the veil is not thin. And, you know, if we don't watch it, we can just continue to believe misinformation and disinformation and downright lies because of the fact that we really can't discern, you know, what is true and what is not. So for us in third density, as we're trying to learn to live with fourth density values, you know, we have two things going for us besides determination and patience. We have our willingness to change and our ability to ask for help, because there's always help available. So that if we have the faith to remember to ask for help, then we're going to be getting information that reassures us. I think we're all going to die, and I think that in some ways the more paranoid of the channelings about the end of third density are psychologically coping with that fact. I think that the thing to remember here is to remain fearless, because if it is a time of straightened difficulties where we no longer have power, we no longer have situations that we take for granted now because of so much of a cataclysm happening, you know, then what people will need from us is not fear. They will need us to be calm and reassuring and live by faith. And you say, well, how can a person do that? How can a person live by faith when everything's falling apart? Well, I would talk about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a cleric in Germany, and in World War II he was taken into prison because of his anti-Hitlerian views. And he was imprisoned, and I mean profoundly imprisoned. He was put in solitary along with other political dissenters. Bonhoeffer used code, you know, tapping on the pipes that connected all of the cells, and several times in each day he would perform services, praying, giving praise and thanksgiving, encouraging all of his fellow cellmates who also knew Morse code. And he himself did die during that incarceration, but the people that lived came forth from that prison, new men. You know, they had been saved by the faith of one man who was tapping out the love that he had in his heart on these old pipes.
I do remember reading his life story somewhere. It's in the recesses of my memory somewhere, and admiring what he did. Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
So that,
well, we have to pause for a moment to do some music and as a new ad that's coming in that Don has created. So I think we're going to take a little break here, Carla, and go to our message, and then I'd like to also ask Don to play Appreciated Angels by Bob Murray. Our music, by the way, for those listening, is synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Bob Murray, and you can hear more about it at thestarstillshine.com.
Do you want to accelerate your ascension? Sign up for a reading with Archangel Michael through Marcia McMahon, Diana Speaks at hotmail.com, or site index at www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com. Mary Magdalene and Black Madonna Pilgrimage with
www.bodymindspiritjourneys.com, August 30th to September 2007, with Andrea Mikana Pinkham and Marsha McMahon, Master of Arts, the author of With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, intuitive channel for Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary, and Princess Diana, and host of a Peaceful Planet radio show. Info at bodymindspiritjourneys.com. Contact 800-231-9811 or 928-284-2384. And the email contact, Marciadi, spelled M-A-R-C-I-A-D-I, at charter.net or dianaspeaks@hotmail.com. Join us on this auspicious spiritual pilgrimage. Explore and experience many fascinating mysteries, enigmatic secrets, and the ancient esoteric traditions of the Magdalene with experts from her tradition. Features all the sites of Mary Magdalene, her relics, and the secret holy bloodline.
Welcome back, and you were listening to Appreciated Angels by Bob Murray, as inspired from the great John Lennon, and I've been also working on lyrics with John for the show. We're back with Carla Rueckert, and she was just telling me during the break that she is now writing another book, and this book is going to be dealing with just the basic principles of light and love. And if you would tell me again a little bit more about the book, Carla.
Sure. Well, I had had a lot of people write in and say that they loved the original channelings from Ra, which were called the Ra Sessions or the Law of One, and asked me question after question, what about this, what about that? So I took all of those questions and wrote A Wanderer's Handbook in 2001, thinking I was now making the material available to everybody. But I've gotten a lot of people that have read A Wanderer's Handbook and have continued to have questions. It's not written simply enough. And so my quest here was to make the principles of the Confederation teachings, love and light, polarity, and so forth, available to everybody, including people that haven't gone any further than high school, people that are reading at the national level, which is seventh grade reading level.
Yeah.
So I found it the hardest work that I've ever done because of the fact that I don't normally use, I have a style of writing that reflects the breadth of my stream of consciousness. It's more like a raging river, and I'm generally talking about more than one thing at a time.
Well, you're very articulate and very well educated. So,
but that's not what's needed for a simple book. So I have to keep taking things out and saying them in a simpler way and using examples that everybody already knows about instead of going back into my literature, that not everybody knows about for examples. So it's really been an intriguing and interesting work of love, labor of love for me. And I really think that it'll be good when I finish it, but it's just going slower than any writing project that I ever had because I'm trying to be stringent about making it really easy to understand. Don Elkins, my beloved companion and the questioner in the Ra Contact, who died in 1984, was a teacher of physics, and he said, always maintain the baby step. That was the secret of teaching. So that's what I'm trying to do in this book.
Well, I'm a teacher, too, and I can see where if you don't cover the basics, they get lost completely. So you have to explain A to B to C, or you don't get any comprehension, and I think for me, it was so easy. I read through the raw material in one sitting.
You inhaled it.
Pardon me?
You inhaled it.
Well, I did. It just was written for me.
A lot of people are like that.
And it fills me with a sense of love and light when I read it. And it gives me a sense of awesome wonder to contemplate the fact that the universe is completely infinite and that we, as a reflection of the divine creator or source, are also completely infinite.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to reach these concepts knowing they're both scientific, and science is beginning to, more than beginning, with the quantum theory.
Quantum theory, superstring, all of that re-says what the Confederation source says and what so many metaphysical sources say, which is that we are all one.
So tell me a little bit more about what you have recently from Quo that you're getting, that Earth changes are not immediately imminent, and that there's going to be a couple hundred more years here at least where the violet ray children will be coming in and there'll be more lessons to complete or something.
I don't think it's about lessons anymore. I think that we're in about the last, this is 2007. We've got maybe 4 or 5 years of choice making to go before that energy will have completely left this planet. And it's not that we'll die because we're in fourth density light. It's that we can no longer do third density work. So we really pretty much have this time to make up our minds to choose to serve others or to serve ourselves, because the people that have no power are the people that never choose. Once you choose your polarity, then you just need to keep staying on that polarity. But
that's
what
right.
they basically say is that the people that have not graduated either in service to others or in service to self from our planet's population will be offered reincarnation for a whole new cycle of third density on another planet that is now in third density in its own progress, because planets are living things and they go through the densities too. So basically, this Earth will become fourth density, but until all of those who contain third density DNA have left the planet, it will not manifest. You will not see it. You can only feel it. I think out of respect, out of, you know, wanting to maintain free will and have people's choices made by faith alone. If we started seeing truth and beauty walking around and giving us dissertations on how to do this, then we would pretty much have to pay attention. But the way spirit works is it asks us to move ahead by faith and by our own free will choice. So until such time as the last third density entity has naturally died, we will continue not to see fourth density. And then after that period is up, and I don't know how long that's going to be, then the fourth density will emerge. And maybe at that point, third density Earth does disappear. Who knows? I don't know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm beginning to get a feeling that
it's very unthreatening in their description. I don't know if you have time to go into this, but there was an interesting channeling, several channelings, in fact, about the stretching of time for us as we approach the end of this density, because kind-hearted people have stretched the time out by moving all of planet Earth to what they call a time lateral. And in this time lateral, we're living slower. I mean, it seems like it's normally faster, even faster than usual, but in terms of the actual movement of people going into fourth density, it's artificially slowed so that more and more people have a chance to make this choice.
And I think that's the beauty of the whole thing. I know some people that are exactly in between the dark and the light, and spirit has taught me that that's where they're at. And I, you know, it's sort of like, you know, in the Christian terminology, it's saving the person. You want them to come in full force into the love light vibration, because it's such a pleasant place to be, you know, into the fourth dimension, which I've been told by my guides I'm in fourth, moving into fifth, meaning that, you know, your psychic abilities are more accelerated, and you have the ability to commune with spirit once you're in the fourth. So that's my definition of it for right now anyway. But, you know, I think the question is always how to be of assistance to those who are sort of polarized in between the two, you know. And again, it's always a matter of individual free will, and I suppose there's nothing we need to do for those entities that haven't made up their mind.
Well, nothing in a worldly sense. Nothing in the sense of, okay, this is how you convince the world to change. But we are all one. We are an interactive, unified network of consciousness throughout the infinite creation. So when we work on ourselves and make changes in ourselves, and then bless those changes and let the light flow through us and out into the world, we are changing the world. We may never say a word to anybody, but the radiance of our lives will bring people awake. And that's really what we want to do. It's almost like we're infecting people. We're infecting people with a very contagious disease, unconditional love. And once people get that from us, and they feel the blessing of that love and true affection that we have, which is just coming through us. It's not nothing. There's nothing egotistical about it, but it's just part of the way that we have allowed spirit to work through us. Once people feel that, then they want to do that too. So they start living lives that are more radiant, and then they're infecting the people around them, and it, so on it goes, and it just keeps being passed on. So, you know, I have had wonderful visions of angels sewing a web of love in golden thread all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, we're setting stitches in that web when we live in love, when our reaction to a disharmonious person is, rather than being disharmonious in return, simply to remain comfortable and serene and find that it's much too much trouble to be angry, because this person is yourself and you love this person with all your heart. So you just rest with that love, and that person doesn't get back the anger that he was expecting. And he goes, wow, she's just sitting there loving me. What do I do with that? I think it really startles people. And you can have a lot of good things happen for people just by your witness. You know, and it's not a speaking witness. It's a silent witness.
Well, you're such a master, Carla, to bring up a good example of how to demonstrate mastery and spiritual centeredness to people that aren't in their center. But I think it's very important for all of us to remain in our center as this process proceeds, the ascension process, and these different dimensions begin to open while others begin to close down. You know, it's almost like you can kind of see it in various people around you, where they're at. You can just kind of, not that you're judging, but you can sense whether they're open, you know, to the love and the light, whether they're open to psychic things or they're just totally closed and they're totally in their 3D world with their job, their car, their house, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can see where their thinking preoccupies them so that, you know.
Yeah, the Ra group calls it the sinkhole of indifference.
The what?
Phrase. The sinkhole of indifference.
Yeah.
When you're not polarizing. It's just a non-powerful position for souls that, once that choice is made, become very powerful, because our will is everything. When we decide how to use our will, then we are people of great power.
Yes, indeed. And you are so powerful, and you've put me so much at ease from just talking with you and the vibration of your voice and the way you command the material. You're such a wonderful spokesperson for the Ra material and the Wanderer's Handbook. And we're coming to almost to a point where we will naturally close out the interview, but I want to give your website. I'm also going to offer the opportunity to let people call in and ask questions.
I'd love that.
And I want to give out our phone number at 877-876-5227 or from Canada, 888-810-8322. And I want to mention Carla's wonderful website again. Where do I have it here? Carla,
it's www.llresearch.org. And Marcia, I would like to mention that if people want to keep up with me, I have a blog on that site. You can link from that site. And also, I do a weekly article for UPI's religionandspirituality.com website, and my column's name is A Small Medium at Large. And I just finished writing a 7-part series on the work of Dana Redfield, who is a well-known experiencer, UFO experiencer, and also a scholar on Gematria, Kabbalah, and language. And it's just a fascinating life and her work. She just passed into larger life because of cancer.
Oh.
And now I'm starting a series on Can One Person Make a Difference? This last week I wrote about Ariane Kirtley, who has devoted herself to bringing water to a particularly drought-ridden poor part of Niger. So hopefully, if you're interested in either of those, you can.
Oh, I'm definitely going to check it out.
You can go to the website, click on Carla's blog and Carla's page, and all those links will pop up.
And then you have a link directly to the Religion and Spirituality on the UPI?
Well, it's www.religionandspirituality.com. And you find my articles by clicking on Columnists and then under Record. And it's R-U-E, folks. That's the only difficult thing about my name, is hard to spell. But R-U-E-C-K-E-R-T. And click on my name, and all my columns will come up. So you can sort of surf around.
Well, I'll definitely be checking through there for your columns. It sounds wonderful. And, you know, I'd love to have you on the France tour. Is there any chance that you'd have the time to accompany us on that awesome pilgrimage?
Well, it does sound like a wonderful thing. Probably not because of my health. I need, a pied-à-terre with a hospital bed, and just, you know, make short trips out from there instead of touring around like you probably do. I do have a good suggestion for the people that are lucky enough to be included in your tour,
mm-hmm.
and that is, when you do approach the Black Madonna and Chartres in general, bring a flashlight, bring some sort of a torch. A small one would do fine, but the church is not lit except through the the ancient stained glass windows, and it's very, very dark in there. And it's a shame.
Oh, well, that was nice of him to say that, although I wasn't planning on going over for a But that's great. We do have our phone lines open, though, if someone would like to call in and ask you a question. So that's good advice, because I remember many years ago when I was visiting Italy and I was going through St. Mark's in Venice, it was lit primarily with candlelight, you know, and there are all these great mosaics and gold leaf inside there, but when we got inside...
And you can't see them. Yeah.
You couldn't see a thing.
Yeah,
so
and there are all these friezes and very intricate carvings, wooden carvings along the wall, and so much beautiful artwork in there, and you simply can't see it unless you have a flashlight. So I hope that, listeners, I hope that you'll consider going. It's a wonderful place, and all of the places she's talking about are just steeped in the faith and the desire for holiness of generations and generations of people. While I was in Chartres, one pilgrim after another would show up, and I finally asked my hostess, Obin Kirtley, who's Ariane's mother, actually, where these people were coming from, because they were dusty and dirty and ragged. And these people are pilgrims. They start walking in Paris, and they walk to Chartres from there, which is a long, dusty walk. And when they get there, they come and worship at the feet of the Black Madonna. And it's a beautiful place of pilgrimage. And you can just feel the sacred energy in that place.
The devotion to God. Yeah, there's a lot of history along ley lines, too, thinking back to the Santiago. There's another pilgrimage there. But, they often... You know, in years past, in medieval times, they would come on their knees and so on and that kind of thing. But these are also going to be explored from the perspective of the holy bloodline. And I have new revelations from Mary Magdalene that are quite startling and do reveal the marriage of Mary Magdalene and Jesus and a child. And so some of the places we're going to explore deal with this. And there will be a lot of, you know, really exciting metaphysical information to be coming forth on the trip. So it's just going to be so interesting from so many levels of perspective, you know. So anyway, Carla, it was really a joy to have you on the show. Thank you for adding all of the wisdom that you have about both of your books. And we're going to mention your website, again, is www.llresearch.org and check out Carla's books there. And can they buy the books online, Carla?
The books are available online. You can order them from us by fax, by phone, or over email. And we're trying to get an online store together, but we haven't quite gotten that together yet. Soon people will be able to have a secure PayPal type place to pay right online. As it is now, they have to print out our order form, write the sensitive information, and then either fax it to us or mail it to us in order to save, you know, the privacy of their bank card numbers.
But, I see. Yeah,
we're working on an online store that has a secure site. Hopefully,
I have one with PayPal, and it is secure. I've never had a problem or a person complaining or any kind of fraudulent.
Right. PayPal is very trustworthy, and we have a PayPal option, but then people have to go to PayPal, and it's a little more complicated than it will be when we get the unified store together.
I think they have an email option, too. I'll look at mine and see what's what, but I haven't done any web design in a while, and it can be complicated, but I don't remember it being so. I think it was real easy to install, but anyway... you know, your work is magnificent. We encourage our listeners to tune in to your two books and read your website and see what they think about the love and light. And we're going to leave everyone in a higher vibration of love and light. when you say the words love and light, think of Carla, because she's one of the first pioneers here on the earth to have gotten that right and gotten that extraordinary information from Ra. And we're going to close out by listening to Prelude to Savannah.